Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see you. So I got a really lovely email this morning, this week, from Jeff and Jeff Donaldson, and he was saying that whenever he struggles to sleep, he listens to our podcasts. That really helps him, apparently. But he said it was really good for him to, for those of you who don't know, Jeff, Rosaline, and Lasana are a family from our church, and they're over in Zimbabwe as missionaries. And he just said it was really nice to hear a friendly voice telling them to wise up. So that was really good. So I would love to do a thing. I don't know whether they'll listen to this particular podcast, whether the first one put him off or not, but I would love to do something and just pray for them. And the hope would be that he will listen, and that as they're listening, that they will just sense the blessing and strength of God. So can we pray for them together? Is that all right? Okay, so Father, we do pray for Jeff, Rosalina, and Lasana. And even as they listen to this podcast, Lord, would you infuse them with strength and with energy, with vitality, Father, even in moments of loneliness, moments of tiredness, moments of even just wondering what the next step is. We pray that you would reveal your goodness. We pray that you'll reveal strength, that you will reveal wisdom and your goodness, Lord. So even right now, fill their home with your presence. Fill their lives with your goodness. Lord, may the signs of the kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy, Lord, be overflowing in their lives today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you give a big cheer and a big clap so they can hear you through that. Okay, brilliant. Okay, so somebody needs to email them and tell them to listen to that. What we're doing is we're continuing on in the series, and the series is called Wise Up, and we're having a look at certain things from the book of Proverbs. And today we're going to look at family. Last week we looked at friendship. Today we're going to look at family and have a look at what the Bible says about family. But very, very quickly, I like a little bit of audience participation. So just spend about 30 seconds talking to the people beside you. And here's the question is... better look and see what the question is. What is the most important thing about family? Okay, what's the most important thing about family? Okay, so turn, just have a wee quick chat with each other, and then I'll get a wee bit of feedback, and we'll move forward. So the most important thing about family. Okay, terrific. I would love some feedback from all ages, okay, for children and, 2 to 92. And if you're over 92, I'm not being discriminatory. It just rhymed. So what's the most important thing about family? Stephen?
They will always be there.
They'll always be... No, you can't get rid of them. Yeah, they'll always be there. Yeah, no, I'm only kidding. Okay, yes, Stephen. All right, Ryan? Spending time with family, absolutely. It's brilliant. Okay, yes, Danny? Love. Loving each other, that's beautiful. Anybody else? Communication. Support for one another. One more. Unity. Brilliant, Celestino. Excellent. Unity. Okay, so things that are really important about family, and what we're going to do, obviously all of those things are absolutely true, but as we look at the verses that are found within Proverbs, there's three main things that I found that I wanted to categorize in, and three main things that I felt... really this was speaking about in the book of Proverbs is telling us in regards of family. And it comes with the thing before it. A family should be a place off. Okay, so a family should be a place off. And the first one is discipleship. The family is a place of discipleship. If the fear of the Lord, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, is the beginning of wisdom, then it would follow if we want to be a family who wises up, who has wisdom, then we as a family would be a family who walk in the fear of God, and we teach the fear of God, we exemplify it, we walk in it in so many ways. And that scripture that's there, Proverbs 14:26, it says, "In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge." Again, speaking about the family, and I do have to make a wee bit of an apology that I will be speaking mainly to parents and children. And so if you're in that stage, then that's really good for you. If you're expecting to be in that stage at some stage, that's really great. And the rest of you can just bear with me. Is that all right? And agree and nod and support us right through all of this. But we all play a part in this too. So it does affect and impact all of us. But it's a place of discipleship, but very much thinking of in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence And his children, thinking of a father who walks in the fear of God, his children have refuge. And so that got me really, really thinking. If you remember from the first week, the fear of the Lord spoke about a number of different things. And it spoke about, number one, recognize. And it's about putting God first place. It's about recognizing that God is to be Lord over all, that we recognize him as the ruler, as the leader, as the one that we follow. And that follows very, very on, closely on with the second one, which talks about respect, which means we obey what God is saying. So to walk in the fear of the Lord means we recognize that he alone is Lord, that he alone is God, that he's got all the answers, and that he himself is the answer. And then we respect his purposes, we respect his plan, we respect his ways. And so if God's saying something, God really expects us to live in a particular way, then we obey that, we walk in that, we live in that, because we know that he knows best. Rest, talked about trust and trusting God, so walking in the fear of God actually is walking with this idea that God is actually over all and that we can trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And so we know that God is able through every season, through every difficulty, through every moment in life, that God is able to direct our path, walk us through. He's able to guide us. So we're able to trust in him, have faith in him. We're able to rely on him. And really that's walking in the fear of God. A lot of us walk in the fear of the market. A lot of us walk in the fear of interest rates. A lot of us walk in the fear of joblessness or the fear of people not liking us or the fear of whatever else it is. But when we walk in the fear of God, there comes a rest upon our lives because we trust in him. We trust in him and his ability to bring us through. Then we talked about also the fear of the Lord being resisting evil and how we resist. And so in this regard, that we don't allow evil into the house, that we don't allow things that are going to contaminate and bring toxicity into our home, we don't allow that. We resist evil, we resist sin, we walk away from it because we fear God instead, and that we remain in that place, that we are remaining continually in that place where we're trusting in, we're depending on, and we're walking in the fear of God. So that's kind of just a recap of the first week and what we looked at in regards of the fear of the Lord. But what I really wanted to point out was that if we walk in this way, and certainly I want to talk about the parents at this moment in time, if we parents walk in the fear of the Lord, then what we're told in Proverbs is that our children will walk securely. That there'll be a security in our home, that there'll be a safety in our home, that there will be a steadfastness, a firmness within our home. So just I want you to imagine with me a minute, if we walked in these ways, if we walked in the fear of the Lord with recognizing him, respecting him, resting and having faith in him, resisting evil, then we would have confidence and security. And that confidence and security would be like confidence in our priorities, that we're not being pushed to here, to there, to that thing, to the other thing. We know that it's settled, that our priority is God and his will and his ways. We know that that's settled, so we're not being pushed by this phase or this fad or this thing, that actually everything about our lives is recognizing that Jesus is Lord. And so we're not going to be pushed about by the fact that we're having trouble in our marriage or the fact that the house is difficult or our finances are struggling or this, that, or the other thing. But all of these things fall into place underneath that. So if our finances are struggling, we will rest in God. We rely on him. We do what he's told us to do. We trust in his ways. If we walk in these ways, there's security in our homes. There's confidence. There's a sense of being able to be steadfast. We're not blown about by every wind. We're not blown about and knocked about by every wave. We're not wishy-washy people, but we're secure and steadfast. I don't know whether you had the privilege of growing up in a home like that. I did. I had a dad who I believe walked in these ways, and there was a security in that and watching that, well, if God says it, he's going to do it. And there's a real security about growing up in that environment, that we recognize, that we obey, that we don't just on our own whim or on our own thing go and do something, but we trust in God. We walk in him. We walk in the light of the fear of the Lord. And so there's real benefit to this. There's real encouragement for this. Our homes are to be a place of discipleship. They're also, as we continue in this discipleship, consider this. Proverbs 14:26, that's the verse that we've looked at. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and I've just underlined that, and his children will have a place of refuge. That impact on our children when we live in the fear of the Lord can never be underestimated. Came across a story that I'm sure many of you heard. It was about a family, and originally this family were Jewish. This family, they were Jewish. They lived in a town where there were lots of Jewish people, and they were able to do a lot of business with Jewish people. But for whatever reason, things changed, and they moved to a different city. And so the family who had been practicing as Jews, the father suddenly announced to them and says, by the way, everybody, we're now Lutherans. And whenever quizzed about why are we Lutherans, he says, well, there are more Lutherans than Jews in this city, and it'll be better for business. That was the father of Karl Marx, okay, who was the author of Marxism. It's where it comes from, which is the seedbed of communism, and we know what damage that did in the 20th century. Looking at a life that encountered not that steadfastness and that security of following and trusting in God, but being blown about by winds and waves, hypocritical parents, parents who didn't live out what they were declaring their religion or their walk really was. And I find that a real challenge. The family is a place of discipleship. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So we're training up our children. We're bringing them up. This is meant to be a proactive thing that we're doing within our homes. So a couple of things that I'd just like to say about that. It's not just the church's responsibility to disciple your children. It's not that you're discipling your children by bringing them to Kingdom Kids. It's part of it. It's not the only part. It's not that you're discipling your children whenever you, and we hope you will, bring them along to Bounce on a Friday night. It's part of it, but it's not all of it. Look at what Deuteronomy says. And I love this scripture. It says this, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 7. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God, excuse me, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. I think that's just, let's do Christian life with our children. Let's walk through this life, walk through this life and the privilege that we have as parents of discipling our children and grandparents as well, of discipling your grandchildren and being part of this all together where we're teaching them to pray, we're teaching them to encounter God, we're teaching them to hear God's voice, we're teaching them a sensitivity towards the things of God, we're teaching them compassion towards other people, we're instilling within them godly and good values within their lives. That's part of the privilege of parenthood. Part of the privilege of parenthood and not just the responsibility of church is discipleship. And that's really exciting. And I really want to encourage those of you who are maybe in a season where you feel like, well, what am I really doing? I'm not working at the minute. I'm looking after the kids. My identity seems to be totally tied up in looking after my kids. Don't just think that that's all you're doing. You're raising mighty warriors for the kingdom of God. You're doing something so valuable, so important that it's hard to measure how wonderful the role that you have and the privilege that you have right now of bringing up your children in the ways of God. And so we are disciplers. So how do we do this? Just a couple of real simple things. This is dead easy, dead simple. We just walk the walk. Our children, they're not dumb. They see whenever what we say in our mouth, from our mouths doesn't live out in practice. So we've got to learn to walk well. We've got to learn to walk in authenticity, be real in front of our family, walk out the things that we say that we believe. You see, we often say it's all very well standing here with our hands raised, but what about tomorrow? What about Tuesday? What about Wednesday? What about how I as a husband treat my wife? What about how I as a dad treat my children? What about how my wife treats me? So on and so forth. How about how we treat our neighbors? How we look after and steward the things that God has given us? We have to walk out this stuff if our children are to learn them. Things, have you ever heard the saying, things are easier caught than taught? And it's so true. We catch values. We live in particular ways. And if we have a culture in our home that we're living by, that we're walking by, values that we stick to, our children will catch them. They'll live in them. They'll grow in them and not even realize that that's the way it is. And they'll come across other families and go, oh, no, we don't do that. And they'll suddenly realize we're different. Why are they different? Because I've got godly parents and godly grandparents that are set in a different way and a different thing. We learn to say things as well. So we walk a particular way, but we also have got to talk to our children about the things of God. We have this massive privilege of being able to talk to them, use every opportunity to talk about the things of God, whether it's formal or informal. And so I would just be encouraging you. I mean, that's what the scripture says as you walk along the road, not many of us walk along the road, as you drive along the road these days, isn't it? As you drive along the road, as you do all of these things, talk about God, talk about things. So for example, we would be watching some things and maybe we tend to watch a lot of, I don't mean we tend to watch a lot of TV, but whenever we're watching TV in our house, our kids are at that age now where we tend to watch the same things pretty much. And so we're watching some things and sometimes you can't avoid things being on the TV that you'd prefer your children not to see. And what we choose to use them as is opportunities to teach, opportunities to stop and go, now guys, you know that we don't agree with that. You know that we're not with that. We don't just allow it to go on and we don't just turn it off because they're going to encounter it somewhere else. Okay, and I'm not talking about 15s or 18s. I'm just talking about something that comes across and you go, whoa, I don't agree with that or I don't like that. And it's amazing how subtle things are. So we want to pick up on the subtlety of the message that's coming across. And Carol, bear witness to me. Sometimes we'll just go, now kids, you know, we don't agree with that. That's not what we go with. Okay, and here's why. And it's just an informal way of going, right, here's how that looks, or an informal way, because we've got to just be talking these things through with our children, talking examples, so watching TV, taking communion, for example. So whenever Cara, sorry for using you, sweetheart, but whenever it came to her wanting to take communion, because it's really attractive getting a bit of bread and a wee thing of juice, you know, during it. And for Cara, it was really important that she understood and that I knew she understood what that was about. So we had good communication. We talked about, well, if you're wanting to take communion, then you'll not be sitting with your DS or you'll not be sitting with your tablet or you'll not be sitting with all the other stuff. If you feel it's time for you to take communion, then you will engage in the service. You'll be part of the service. You'll not just be, I'm safe enough saying this, but because I don't think it happened today. But I remember seeing one child sitting coloring in and the communion plate going by and they were coloring in. They just went like that. And I thought, no, that's not right. That's not what we're aiming for here. We're aiming that we understand that this is, and it is only bread and it is only juice. We don't believe in transubstantiation or consubstantiation or any of those big words. We don't believe in those things, but we believe that we need to take a moment and be respectful and revere the Lord as we're doing this. And so it was really important for me that whenever Cara was going, we had that conversation. Here's what this is about. Here's why we're doing it. And if you're making the choice to take communion, then you're making the choice that you're going to engage in the services and that this is going to be a real thing for you. Okay? So taking those moments, those opportunity to teach and to train and to develop. Train sounds a wee bit too heavy, doesn't it? But to develop these thoughts and this understanding within our children. Don't allow it all just to pass on by. Even things that maybe happen in church at times that were a bit weird or things where people are encountering the Holy Spirit or things like that are happening. It's really good to talk to your children about that. Don't let them just think, oh, what's that all about? And then they bury it away down and they don't. Just explain, here's God's moving, God's touching people's hearts. This is really good. Have you ever felt the Holy Spirit? Have you ever sensed God? Have you ever heard God speak? Have those conversations with our children because they're actually more able to have them than sometimes we realize. Car journeys. So I think if Deuteronomy was written in today's world, it would say car journeys, not walking along the road. But we have some brilliant stupid conversations in the car, but we have some brilliant God conversations in the car. For us, quite often, me and the girls, because we come on a Sunday night, quite often we get into a good conversation on the way home on a Sunday night. And it's just talking about God, talking about the things of God. And sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, but it's really good and it's really important. And the last one, oh, sorry, I've put it up there already, is teach. So we're talking, but we want to teach. So we want to be proactive too. We want to not just use the opportunities that come up, but we want to teach our children. And so I would be a real big advocate that we need to be teaching our children Christian values. And the Christian values around the things that are around this world, and I don't want to use particular words, but you'll know what I'm talking about, okay? The things that they're bombarded with day in, day out. It's really important that we as parents are proactive in talking to our children about relationships, about all of those kind of things, because they're going to hear it out there, and they're going to not hear the right way of it. And what we want to do is teach them and talk to them. And it's embarrassing for them, isn't it? Yeah. But it's important for us as parents to teach our children Christian values in some of the most important aspects of life. And so if you're dodging that one, stop dodging it and engage with your children. Age appropriate, of course. Okay? All right? It's just a challenge that I'm putting out to you there. We need to teach our children, be proactive. Don't rely on society, school, or just church. We are the main people who have the main responsibility. Parents, grandparents, for our children. Amen? No, none of you want to accept that. That's just the truth. That's just the way it is. Okay? Okay. If you thought that was heavy, the second thing the Proverbs talks about, family should be a place of discipline. Okay, it's going very quiet. But it is, it's a place of discipline, and it's unbelievable how many passages and portions of Scripture are in here about discipline. So here what we want to cover are two aspects, and it covers in Proverbs two aspects, advice for children and advice for parents. So children, listen up. Parents, listen up, and let's see what we do. But I want to give you a wee break, okay? So a wee bit of a scary question, okay? Scary question. What would your advice be? So if you're a child to parents, okay, or if you're a parent or a grandparent or an older person to children, what would your advice be to the opposite, okay, in regards of discipline, okay? What would your advice be? So as a child to your parents about what discipline should look like, and what would your advice be as parents or grandparents towards children be towards discipline? Does that make sense? I know you're so afraid of that question. Actually, I literally wrote scary question on my notes, okay? So have a wee quick chat, okay? We're going to allow you 1 minute for that. So, and then we'll see what the Bible says. Dare I ask for some feedback? All right, so here we go then. A wee bit of feedback then. So let's go for some children advice to parents. Okay, I've won already. Don't pick words with big syllables. Do you ever, anybody in my generation or older remembers that? Stop hitting the ball against the wall. Anybody remember those ones? Okay, but we'll move on. Okay, so any children, advice for your parents about discipline? Okay, advice for your parents. Come on, I would love a spokesperson from the wee group down here. Just one thing, shout it out. Go ahead, Cara, I'll take it from you. Give me one thing. Okay, discipline is but for the right reasons. Okay, no, it's good, take that. Okay. What about any parents' wisdom? Over here, yes? Okay. Send us to the room rather than getting smacked. Okay. Okay, Curtis? Okay. Okay. You need to listen to some of the scriptures that are coming up. Okay. Brilliant. Okay, and some advice for parents to children, okay, and then we'll get to the word. Sorry? Mother knows best. Father knows better. Okay, come on. Seriously, is there any advice you're looking back, think, do you know what? Yeah, that would be good for you to know. Be consistent. Tell the truth, and it has to be in love. Okay, let's have a look at some of the scriptures. Now, what I want us to do is, since I'm wearing a suit, we're going to go a wee bit traditional and liturgical, and I want you to read these scriptures with us. Is that okay? We're going to go for that. All right, so here we go. And I was nearly going to get some children to read out the children's ones, and then others, and then we sort of thought we mightn't get enough to read it out. So I thought it'd be really good for us all to read them out together. Is that fair enough? And they're there together. And I'm not going to expand too much on them, but they speak for themselves. Okay, so there's a couple of different categories here. So this is advice for children. So children in the room, This is advice from God's word to you about discipline. Okay, so let's read the first one out together. Proverbs 1, verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. All the parents said. Proverbs 15:32. It's not the one that's up. Yep. Those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but the one who heeds correction gains understanding. Okay. Proverbs 13, verse 1. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not respond to rebukes. Proverbs 15, verse 5. A fool spurns a parent's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. Proverbs 30, verse 11. There are those who... Proverbs 30, verse 11. There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. And we're just going to go out of Proverbs a little bit as well. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord God is giving you. And finally, Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Okay, so that's the first aspect. And again, you can look back over those, but really what Proverbs is saying, children, discipline, and we'll get into what discipline should be look like, but discipline is for your benefit, and you should listen to it and respond well to it. So it's not all bad, even if it feels bad, okay? It's not all bad, all right? But the second element then is a challenge to parents that we find within the book of Proverbs, and we'll go a little bit wider as well as we continue on. And again, I would love you to read some of these with us. The emphasis of these is parents, don't withhold discipline. All right? This seems to be where it goes. Don't withhold discipline. So we look at Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I feel a few have departed from reading with me. Okay? Keep coming with me. Keep going with me. Okay? Proverbs 29:17. Discipline your children, and they will give you peace. They will bring you the delights you desire. Okay? Proverbs 23:13-14. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with the rod, they will not die. Punish them with the rod and save them from death. Okay? Some of these should be up on the fridge. We will balance them out, I promise. Okay, Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. And one final one, Proverbs 29:15. A rod and a reprimand. Here we go this time, thank you. A rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother. Okay, you could wear that in Tesco sometimes when all the kids are running about. Okay. Now, obviously then it's encouraging that we would discipline our children. But sometimes what we hear these verses, but we don't hear the ones that are coming. And the ones that are coming want to impart wisdom in some of the values that we would have as we are disciplining children, okay? So it goes on to say that this discipline should be balanced, okay? And some of the advice that we were hearing was some of what Scripture definitely says. So Proverbs 19:18. So continue with me just for this moment, and we're nearly done. Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death. And really two-line statement is saying is absolutely, while there's still hope, while there's still the opportunity to make change, bring discipline. But don't bring it in such a way that contributes to crushing or destroying them. Okay, so discipline isn't, and we'll talk a bit more about the values of discipline in a moment, but we have to be very careful about what discipline is and what it looks like. Okay, Proverbs 29, verse 11. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Now, we're going to say a little bit about that in a moment when we look at the values of disciplining. And one final one as we leave Proverbs to look at Ephesians 6, verse 4. And it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Okay, so what does this look like then? So what Proverbs is encouraging is, children, respect discipline, respect your parents. This is a good thing. It's saying to parents, don't withhold discipline, but it has to be balanced. So how do we kind of get a bit of an understanding for that? I have made these points because I don't want to be prescriptive. Everybody's got their own idea about what discipline looks like and how it should be done. We've all got our own family history of it. And some of us think, well, did me no harm. And some of us think, well, I'm never doing that to my kids. So what we want to do is, as we're deciding how we discipline our children, is have proper values. And then from those values come out really good action. Okay? So here are some things that I think would be helpful according to those scriptures for us to think about in regards of discipline. First of all, I would like to say discipline is necessary. Discipline is necessary. If you're embarking on the journey of being a parent, then expect to have to hand out discipline. Number one, your children are not your friends. You're their mommy or their daddy, and you have to bring discipline. Okay, sometimes Emily has said to me, thanks, mate. And I always remind her, I go, I'm not your mate, I'm your daddy. Now you might think, oh, you're a bit heavy. And she goes, well, you're my daddy, mate. And I'm like, right, yes, yes, that's okay. But first and foremost, my children aren't trying to meet some sort of friendship gap need in my life. Okay, the idea is that we're emotionally healthy, and out of that health, that we're able to overflow good health into our children. Not that they're meeting some sort of need, so I'm afraid of discipline in case they don't like me. Right? If you're walking through that, you need to understand the Father's heart of love and acceptance towards you so that you can then, in an emotionally healthy way, discipline your children and help them become all that they can be. So discipline is necessary. We could talk much more about that. In fact, let me just mention this because there's a growing wave of humanism within our world that really speaks into this idea that everybody is born good, everybody is good, and do you know, it's the messing of society that corrupts, and so the least amount of intervention on children will lead to the best absolute outcome. Well, that contradicts scripture. Okay, now I don't have time, and if you want to debate that with me later, I'm up for that debate. But we actually know that we've been born and shaped in iniquity, that there's sinfulness within us, and so scripture encourages us. So we need to teach our children where the boundaries are and where the lines are. And as Christian parents, we don't buy into the humanistic approach to this. There's some really good stuff on the humanism stuff, but that's not part of it in my particular view. Okay, and discipline should challenge, not crush. Okay, we're trying to challenge, we're trying to correct and direct, but we're not trying to crush. We're not trying to ruin a child's spirit. We're not trying to, you know, if they've got lots of energy, we're not trying to turn them into somebody they're not. But we're trying to channel that and challenge that so that it's put in a really good way. Does that make sense? So we're trying to challenge, we're not trying to crush, and we want to be very, very careful that as Christian parents, we believe that our children have been created in the image of God. We believe that He's got a purpose for their lives. Part of our role is to bring that purpose to bear. Discipline is for the child, not for the parent. So it's that scripture that we read about, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Discipline's not about you losing your temper or you getting frustrated. Discipline is about what's best for the child in that moment. So if you are finding yourself starting to lose your rag, go and count to 10. Go and do whatever it is so that you can make a good decision on discipline. Now, we've all broken that, haven't we? We've all, out of our own frustration and annoyance, done something or disciplined. But if we can, let's calm down and let's bring it in a proper way that is beneficial for the child. And not just for us. And beneficial for the child might mean you're raising your voice. I'm not saying everything has to be all hoity-toity, okay? Sometimes they need to know they've crossed the line. But it needs to be about what's beneficial for them, not for you, okay? Discipline should be measured and not meted out. I joked about. Did you ever get that one? Do you know, I told you not to lie anymore. Anybody get that? Yeah. Okay, you're all afraid. Okay, wooden spoon. Okay, but really, I'm not really having a go at what went in the past, but we have to be careful that we're not just meeting it out, but that the discipline is measured, that we know what we're doing and we're doing it for the proper effect. Does that make sense? Okay, and again, some of the stuff has to be applied, but we need to have the value of that. Discipline should be in the context of love. Absolutely in the context of love, not of annoyance or I wish I'd never had these kids or anything like that. It has to be in the context of how God the Father disciplines his children. He disciplines those he loves. So in the context of love, I hurt my hand doing that. Okay, we can move on, everybody said. No, do you want to talk about discipline a bit more? Okay, the final thing then that I just want to say, and it's this, that family should be a place of delight. Okay, so just, you can breathe easy now. All right, but it is a place of delight. Family is a place, not a place that we should be coming home to and it's an absolute war zone. Of course, there's seasons of conflict. Of course, there's times where things are difficult. But in the general moving of things, family should be a place of delight, a place of joy, a place where you're looking forward to getting home from work, a place where kids that you're glad you're finishing school and you're thinking, actually, it's a good place to go home to. All right? Family should be a place that is a place of delight. And that's the heart and the desire of that. And we all contribute into that, whatever age, whatever part of the family we're in, we all contribute to that, that it's not a war zone, that it's not a place of strife and angst, but it's a place of delight, a place that we actually enjoy being, and a family that we enjoy being part of. So just a couple of things then. As being a place of delight is to be a place of love. I love this scripture, okay? Proverbs 15:17. Better a dish of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. I mean, if I'd have read that, I like vegetables now. When I was a kid, I hated vegetables. I really should have had that, you know, on my fridge or wherever. You know, better a dish of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. Basically, what that's saying is, guys, the whole purpose of family isn't to have all the stuff. It's not to have all the things. And my role as a father, your role as a father, or parents or grandparents, it's not that we buy and that we give and that we do all of these things and our kids and our grandkids, that we've supplied them with all the things that they could ever hope for. Actually, the purpose of family is that they encounter love and they encounter real, true, wonderful, agape, this Christian love. Love, place of love. It's also to be a place of peace. Proverbs 17 verse 1 says, better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. And again, it's this context of we want to have peace in our home. And what brings peace? One of the greatest causes of strife, anxiety, and worry in the home is how we use our finances. And again, we want to look at how we use our finances, because if how we're using our finances is bringing strife and anxiety and worry into the home, then we need to think about this scripture. I'd rather have a bit of dry bread with peace than all the feasting in the world with all of this hassle and this worry. And so sometimes we need to reorientate and reorganize our lives so that we're living this stuff out, living out in peace, living out in peace, that we choose peace. And I would encourage you today, choose peace. Even in our marriage relationships, choose peace. See, I'm convinced that if we are surrendered to God, if we get the first bit right of walking with God in the fear of the Lord, and we're allowing God to be master and ruler over our lives, if husband and wife are doing that, there's nothing can come between you. There's nothing. I'm not saying you won't have difficult times. I'm not saying that sometimes you'll fall a wee bit in and out of love and it'll not be like it was in the honeymoon. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that God will get you through and that you can have a blessed, joyful, wonderful, peaceful home and marriage if you submit to God. Absolutely believe it with all of my heart. There's nothing could come between you if both of us surrender to God. Now, you imagine you put the kids in on that. And all of us are walking in the fear of the Lord. I'm not saying it's going to be total bliss, but I'm saying it's going to work. as we walk with God in the fear of God. We'll walk in his shalom, his peace. And the final one in this is this idea of delight, the home place of delight, is that it's a place of safety. Proverbs 14, verse 26. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. Do you know, unfortunately today in our society, for so many, safe home isn't the reality, and that's so heartbreaking. As Christians, our homes should be places of safety. I want to say with as much compassion and just heart as possible, husbands, we need to make our homes a safe place. Safe place for our wives and a safe place for our children. Wives too, in on that. Our society is getting wrecked with people with violent outbursts, with anger and with rage. We're a people of a different spirit. We are to be different. Our homes are to be different. Our examples are to be different. Our relationships are to be different. I remember one time years and years ago, we were putting Cara to bed at a proper bedtime and there were still kids outside playing. And she says, Daddy, everybody else is out there. Everybody else, Mommy and Daddy, let's them play out there. I remember saying, well, everybody else doesn't have me as a daddy. And we're Richies and this is how we do it. And I just say, we're not like everybody else. We're the family of God. We've got his name on us. It means we live and we act and we respond differently. Our homes should be places of safety. Wise up, the family. Proverbs speaks a lot about family. And so I just leave you with those things. That it's a place of discipleship. It's a place of discipline. But it's a place of delight. And I didn't want to just preach for information this morning. I really want to preach for change. And if some of those things are challenging you today, I would love you just to take a moment to allow it to stick. Not just a why, yeah, but to allow it to stick. Maybe there's moments of repentance needed. And repentance doesn't have to get all heavy. It just is a matter of a change of mind, a change of heart, that you know what? Maybe I've been a wee bit too frustrated and angry in my discipline and need to change that. Maybe it's been a bit too soft because I'm looking for my kids to be my friends and I need to maybe just tighten up a bit. Maybe it's that, do you know what? I'm not a person of peace in the home and I'm bringing a lot of strife and criticism and negativity into the house and I just need to change that. Whatever it is that doesn't coincide with you bearing Christ's name that you're bringing into your family, that change of mind, that change of heart. I just wondered if we could just take one moment of silence, just respond unto God, then we'll pray. Lord, we pray the prayer and we say that we need you. We need your help because all of us would confess that with these ideals in front of us, there are times that we have fallen short. So whether it's as children and not accepting discipline, or whether it's as parents and maybe being a bit neglectful over discipleship or discipline, or some of the other things we've talked about. So Lord, we just need your grace right now. Grace that would allow us to walk away from the past. Grace that would help us in our present. And grace actually that would empower us for the days that are ahead to make a difference and to be different. We pray for your help and for your strength and for the changes that people are maybe making and desiring to make in their hearts before you today. I pray that you would help us to wise up to family, to what your perfect picture of family is. And Lord, even that word perfect is maybe not even a good word to use because there's no such thing as perfection in this life. But that we would live with these values and that we would move towards and lean into the plans and the purposes that you have, not just for us as individuals, but for our homes and our extended families. Lord, today I pray for children that you will help them to walk with you. Lord, our children and our young people, that they will be discipled, that they will walk with you, that they'll receive discipline gladly and with wisdom, and that they would be wise beyond their years. I pray for those who are parents and grandparents and extended families, that you would teach us, Lord, and train us and help us. Give us wisdom. Help us walk in the Spirit, Lord, and to know how and when and what and Lord, just help us to be and to exemplify you as we play the roles that we play. Help us to train our children in the way they should go. As we steward the purposes and the plans that you've put on their lives, help us to do that to great effect, we pray. Release your goodness and your blessing on us, I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.